the rest of the story. The general was married to her, they say. He was married to this teenage girl he'd met while on a tour of duty. He even wrote of the ceremony, which was, he claimed, a quaint local ritual conducted in the local language, a formality so inscrutable that he was entirely unaware of its significance until it was over, he said. Yet by surreptitious means or obvious, legally or otherwise, the general was married to the beautiful young girl with the flowing black hair, and the consensus opinion of his contemporaries and of posterity is that the general took full advantage of his questionable status. I say questionable because the general was already married to a woman back home. But this is the rest of the story. The wartime romance, history forgot, began during the United States Army's winter offensive. Civilian casualties were inevitable because this war turned villages into battlefields. Among those slain by the American invaders was the father of a 17-year-old girl named Mona. And so wary were United States troops of the enemy that a great many unlikely prisoners were captured, and among them was this girl who immediately attracted the attention of the American commanding officer. She was as fresh and lovely as the young grass that awakens in springtime, the general said, and he promptly made her an offer which it seems she could not refuse. Not that Mona found the older soldier unattractive. To the contrary, she was by all accounts quite admiring of him and eventually devoted to him. The general ignored the stories about her, which had filtered down to him through the ranks of the military intelligence, including the sensational assertion that Mona had been married and had shot her husband. Nonetheless, as their relationship progressed through weeks and then months, two things became apparent. First, that Mona was pregnant, and second, that the general was not the father. Mona had been expecting for 2 months when she and the general had met. And yet the two were to continue to live together, if it may be called that, from battlefield to battlefield, and in delirious happiness, until Mona gave birth to a son. And thenceforth, the general adored the boy, and even it was further whispered, fathered a child of his own by the girl with the flowing black hair. Whether that happened or not, Mona stayed with the general, serving sometimes as an official military interpreter. And then one terrible day, the general told Mona that he was going home. Precisely what he told her at the time is uncertain. What she told her own people, with whom she remained, was that the general was her husband and that he had promised to come back for her, but he never did. 7 years she waited for him, until she learned of his death, an occasion which grieved her so desperately, it is said that she slashed her own legs and hacked off her own flowing black hair. Historians often marvel that when the naked body of General George Armstrong Custer was discovered by white men at the Little Bighorn, it, unlike the others, had been washed clean of dirt and blood, as though somebody who loved him had prepared him for burial. Well, now you've met General Custer's other wife, a woman who did love him in spite of all, a local girl in a war that should never have been. Mona Montecita, a full-blooded Cheyenne Indian. And now you know the rest of the story.